There's a word that is mentioned in the Bible that carries a lot of meaning. And it's probably one of the most misunderstood words that we have in our language today. It's a fruit of God's Spirit. And without this quality, we will not be in God's kingdom. It's also a beatitude. So you're probably narrowing this down and you probably know where I'm going with this. The word I'm mentioning and referring to is meekness. Meekness. And like the Ten Commandments series that I gave a while back, I'd like to take this beautiful characteristic or this character trait and put it into today's terms and see how we can apply it to our lives. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to actually take a look at another character in the book in the Bible today. I'd like to take a look at the life of Moses. And I'd like to see how we can also put this characteristic of meekness into our life so that we too can inherit the earth, as it says in Matthew 5. So if you're looking for a title for the message for today, it's simply Moses, Meekness, and Me. Moses, Meekness, and Me. And when I say the word meekness, what do you think about? What usually comes to mind? Well, most of the world looks at the word meekness as weakness. They look at it as a lack of confidence, or being timid, or being cowardly. And the world would probably quote Matthew 5:5 as blessed are the strong and self-willed who can hold their own. But we don't celebrate meekness in our culture today, do we? In fact, I was reading, this is according to the dictionary according to the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery, and I quote, most of the world's literature has exalted the conquering hero who refuses to submit or to exert his or her interests against anyone who might challenge those interests. And most cultures have reserved their rewards for people who compete successfully through strength of will and superior power, end quote. Isn't that what the world thinks of when they think of somebody who's meek? It's somebody who's puny, who can't do anything, and they want that strong man or that strong woman in that place. The word meek or meekness in the Greek means to be mild or humble or gentle. In the Hebrew word, it means to be depressed in mind, not like a state of depression, but to be needy, or especially, and I like this word, saintly. The word meekness actually means saintly. So, you know, if we are to be like God, and if we are growing in grace and knowledge, and we are to be his saints, then we should be exuding this characteristic of meekness. It also means to be humble or lowly or poor. The dictionary.com says to be quiet in nature. Again, this is something that the world doesn't look at as being a strength. They look at this as being a weakness. Because the opposite of the word meekness means to be bold or brave or disobedient or troubled or unyielding. And don't we see a lot of that today in today's society? You can put in your notes Matthew 5:5. I've quoted it kind of. But it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The word meek in the original language was used to describe the reining in of a stallion. And it's the idea of a horse being bridled or controlled by a bit or a bridle. And it's the horse then choosing to submit to the authority. Now, I know a bit or a bridle is going to really keep that horse down. But you know, if that horse really wanted to, he can get out of it. But you know, the greatest example of this that I could possibly think of was Jesus Christ. When they were taking him away to be crucified, he said, I can call down legions of angels. I can have billions of angels right here with me right now. But he says, I'm not going to do that. And that, brethren, is meekness. That's something that we should be striving for. I found an interesting quote regarding meekness and weakness. It says, a weak person can't do anything, but a meek person, on the other hand, can do something but chooses not to. So then meekness is a choice. It's something that we have to work at. It's not something that's easy. It's something that goes against our human nature and our character, because everything in ourself says, I can do it. I'm strong. I'm brave. I can conquer the world. But the meek person knows that they can, but goes about it in a quiet manner. You could put in your notes Psalm 37:11. It says, the meek will inherit the earth and will delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So if you want peace in your life, then meekness is a character, a quality that should be exuded in that. And you will find that meek or that peace in your life. Because again, it is a fruit of God's Spirit. It's something that's expected from us. If we have God's Spirit in us right now, we should be using that Spirit to be able to make us into a meek person. Because it would be difficult to experience meekness without the help of God. Because we can't do it on our own. Let's go to Isaiah 66, and let's see how God views meekness. Isaiah 66. Unfortunately for you today, I'm not going to be turning to any new scriptures. 2 Salvatore 3 is not in the Bible. So we're going to stick to the trunk of the tree. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord God, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you'll build me? And where is the place of my rest? He says, for all these things my hand has made and all these things exist, says the Lord. God made everything. There isn't anything that we could possibly do for God that he hasn't already had. He can raise up stones and he could put them into his family. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He loves us. But he's saying here, I own everything. But I love what he says on the next sentence. It says, but on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, somebody who's showing that quality of meekness and who trembles at my word. God takes time to notice those people because it's something that this world doesn't do. We're supposed to stick out like sore thumbs if we're living God's way of life. God says, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to stop what I'm doing in my busy day, and I'm going to look at that meek person. Because the key to understanding the virtue of meekness is that it's not a quality of weakness, but it's rather of strength. Because the word itself implies self-control, because it's not natural. But before I get into the life of Moses, as I mentioned in my original statement, let's look and see what the Bible has to say about meekness. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So I'm going to build this up a little bit. It's a fascinating study. It's one that I've enjoyed very much doing before I had the chance to put this message together. Because I learned a lot. I learned a lot that I don't have this quality. I need to work on this a lot more. 1 Timothy 6 verse 11 says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and oh yeah, that word meekness. In the previous verses, Paul lists several things that we need to stay away from or that we need to flee from, which are pride, envy, strife, love of money. And he tells us then to stay away from that, but follow after meekness. And the word follow means to pursue. Thayer's dictionary says it means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing, or one who runs in a race swiftly to reach the goal. Now, I'm no runner. I never was. I never will be. I know some of you in the room here were really good at running. But if you wanted to run and you wanted to win the race, you ran like you had your pants on fire. That's how we're to run after it, our meekness. That's what we're supposed to be following after. We're told this, again, because it's not something that's natural. We don't naturally wake up and go, I think I'm going to be meek today. I mean, you could try, and that's the first step, but it's not normal. It's not natural. Our tendency is to handle the situation the way we want to handle it. Bold and brazen, And isn't that how we all get in trouble when we try to do it our way? You know, the prophet Zephaniah said something similar. Let's go to Zephaniah chapter 2. He's speaking here about the times before the return of Jesus Christ. Zephaniah chapter 2. You know, going back to what I said about doing it our way, it ends up messy, and it ends up not being a very meek way to handle a situation, because we do it with that pride and arrogance. Zephaniah 2, verse 1 says, "Gather yourselves together, yes, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, and before the day passes chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, and before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek the Lord," verse 3, "all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, that it may be with you and hid in the day of the Lord's anger." The word "seek after" means to search after by any method possible, specifically in worship or prayer. And that's the key to obtaining meekness, through worship and prayer. Not trying to conjure it up yourself or figure it out on how you can do it. It also means to desire or make inquisition. So we see here that obtaining meekness takes the help of God's Spirit, but it also takes our effort. You know, it's like reading the Bible. You just can't press the words, you can't press it up against your head and expect it to absorb into your skin. You actually have to read it. And with meekness, you actually have to practice it, which means you're going to be put in a situation sometimes that are going to push you, that are going to test you, but it's going to make you better if you can come out of it handling it in a very godly way. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Again, we're talking here about meekness. Verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. He says, "Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And let," in verse 15, "and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be you thankful." Again, we go back to that peace that you want to have. That peace comes from meekness. But he says, put on meekness. And the word "put on" in the Greek means in the sense of sinking into a garment or clothing oneself. You know, if you're going to put on a shirt or a jacket or a pair of pants, you know, you want to get all of whatever you're going to put in your arms and your chest in there, and you sink into it. Meekness is like that, because it has to become a part of your life. That's how we put on meekness, by making it a part of what you are and what you do and how you live your life and how people see you. Let's go to Psalm 149. And let's see how important then is meekness to God. Psalm 149. Verse 4. We'll read verses 4 and 5. It says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud in their beds." Brethren, God takes pleasure in those who are trying to do things his way. He takes pleasure and he takes notice of it. You know, again, we were made in his image and his likeness to look like him and act like him and be just like our Father. You know, we heard in Mr. Shaby's message, I don't know how many of you heard that last night in his little short thing that he does. And when he talked about, the title of it was, "He Gets Us, Do You Get Him?" referring to Jesus Christ. You know, this world doesn't get Jesus Christ because they don't know him. They don't have a relationship with him. Again, God is encouraging us and inspiring us to have that relationship so that he can give us the quality and that characteristic and that fruit of the Spirit of meekness, so that we can become better. So we have to ask ourselves then, are we seeking meekness? Are we following after meekness? Are we putting on meekness? Those are action words, because salvation is eternal life. And if you flip it around, you'll find that those who are not meek, he will not offer salvation to. For my last scripture in this set, let's go to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Again, it's important we understand the importance of meekness and why it's so valuable. Isaiah 29, verse 18. It says, "And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind will see out of obscurity and out of darkness." This isn't just talking about physical. This is talking about spiritually opening our eyes and our ears. He says, "And the meek will increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." This speaks about a relationship with God. Again, increasing in his joy is to be in his presence. It's to be doing the things that he wants us to do, not just pretending to be a Christian or pretending to be a saint of his. So now that we know a little bit more about meekness, let's look at the life of Moses. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12, please. Numbers chapter 12. Because God makes a very interesting statement here about Moses that, I'll have to be honest, when I first read this, I did not understand this at all. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were on the face of the earth." This is God speaking about Moses, and he's calling Moses the meekest man ever. Meekest man on the face of the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of Moses, besides Moses Summers here in our congregation, and I think of the man Moses in the Bible about, you know, taking them out of Israel or out of Egypt. But I think of Moses as a man who had a bad temper, somebody who was raised by a Pharaoh, and somebody who was a murderer. That's how I think of Moses, not a man who's meek. So I had to dig into this deeper and find out a little bit more. And so what I'm going to do is I broke his life out into three 40-year sections. Because the first 40 years of Moses' life, Moses, as we know in reading in Exodus 2, verse 1, both his parents were Levites. Okay? He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Remember, he was put in the basin and he was taken down the Nile River, picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. He was nursed by his original mother. As I mentioned, he was then brought into the Pharaoh's house. He was the son of Pharaoh. He had anything and everything he ever wanted. According to Josephus, he was the captain in the Egyptian army. He was number two in the world at the known time in power. Think about that. Moses had everything at this point in his life. And it's probably safe to say at this point in his life, he wasn't very meek. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. I mean, after all, he didn't have a very good example, did he? With his father raising him there. Acts chapter 7. Moses is a remarkable man to read about in Scripture. Again, to think about where he started in his life and where he ended up. Acts 7, verse 20. At this time Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up by his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. I just told you the story. And Moses, verse 22, was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. Okay, the Egyptians were not nice people. Okay, and he was a learned man in their language, in their skills, in their ways. Again, meekness on the scale of how his character fell was probably at the very bottom of the rung of the ladder here. Again, he held one of the highest positions in the world. And Moses' first 40 years of life, brethren, were a lot like ours, weren't they? You know, we were doing our own thing, kind of going about our business just as usual, figuring things out on our own. Again, meekness was probably at the bottom rung of our ladder, so to speak. But let's finish here in Acts, let's continue in Acts 7, verse 23, because something happened. When he was 40 years old, this is speaking about Moses, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged them who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. He killed him. He killed the man with his bare hands. For he supposed that his brethren would be have understood that God would deliver him from the hand, but they did not understand. You know, Moses, probably taught by his mom through the years about certain things, thought at this time he could deliver God's people. He was going to be the deliverer, and he was going to do it right then and there. Let me ask you a question. What kind of a leader would Moses have been if he had started his reign right there? Do you think he would have been patient? Do you think he would have been meek? Or do you think he would have been a hothead and just choked out just about every Israelite that came to him that grumbled and moaned and complained? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because what kind of a king or a priest would we have been if God called us initially and didn't work with us to teach us? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many mobile are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not." Why? "To bring to nothing the things that are, so that no flesh should glory in his presence." He called those who he could work with to show others his greatness. You know, I'm living proof of that. I'm standing here before you today. I grew up in the church, and I walked away from it for a while. And for young people, don't do that. That's not fun. It's a long, painful road back. But there's hope for you. There's hope for us. You know, God calls us like Moses did to teach us how to be meek. Like the potter and the clay, we have to want to be molded and shaped. We have to obey and listen and follow after the things that he teaches us. That's how we grow. That's how we learn. After killing the Egyptians, Moses then, here in Exodus chapter 2, if you want to start turning there, Exodus chapter 2, after he killed the Egyptian, Moses then fled to Midian. And this brings us now to Moses' next 40 years of his life. Again, we're talking about meekness here. Learning what made Moses meek. How did Moses get to the point where he was today? How, brethren, are you sitting here today, where you are today? How did you get here? And where are you going? Exodus 2:15. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. That's kind of an understatement here. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And when the priests of Midian had severed daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled up the troughs of water to feed their flock. Dropping down to verse 20. So he said to his daughters, "Where is he? You know, who is this guy that's helping you out, filling up this water for you? And why is it that you left this man? Call him so that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son, and she called his name Gershom. For he says, "I have been a stranger in a foreign land." Moses spent the next 40 years of his life as a shepherd. Now, this didn't dawn on me until I was studying this, but you could put in your notes Genesis 46, verse 31 through 34. Shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. Think about that. Shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. And here was Moses, raised in Egyptian culture, taught that this is probably something that was not good and not normal to do, is now living a life that went completely against the way he was brought up and raised. You know, instead of having the best food and having the best place to live, he's living in tents. He's had sandals on his feet, and he was, you know, taking care of donkeys and mules and horses and cows and sheep. But you know what? God was teaching Moses meekness. He was taking off those rough edges. How about you? Do you remember when God started working with you and knocking off some of your rough edges and calling you into his kingdom, into his family? You know, for me, I know I was 15 plus years ago on a Saturday morning driving to my clients, or actually I was driving to a fishing trip for one of my clients. It was Saturday morning. It was 5 a.m. I was driving down the road in St. Pete. There was an 8-lane road, not a single car on the road. I stop at a red light, and I get plowed into by another car. And I pulled over to the side, and the guy gets out, and I was in a not in a nice area. And he told me that he wanted me to lie and say that his girlfriend was driving because apparently he had some issues or problems. But you know, there was a little man standing on the corner across the street from where I was. And I said, I can't lie because I have a witness. And, you know, I can't go against what he says because we'll both be telling the truth. So the cops came and I called my wife and they arrested the man. And I called my wife and I said, I'm going to church today. And that was the turning point in my life. That was the rough edges that God was trying to take away from me and call me into this faith. And it was a lesson that I had, unfortunately, had to learn the hard way. And you know, it's funny, I thought that this was going to be a piece of cake. I thought, well, God, that doesn't have much to work with me on, right? I mean, I'm a good guy. I don't really get into that much trouble. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, how I was wrong. Sometimes I wonder if I'm going backwards. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Because we all travel down these roads, don't we? This is life. This is real. I wasn't very meek. God was teaching me, just like he's teaching you. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, verse and 12. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away the childish things. For now we see in this manner dimly, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And now I know in part that I shall know just as I am also known. Excuse me. You know, God mercifully doesn't pull the shades up on us all at once, does he? He kind of creaks the blind up a little at a time so that we can reveal who we really are. You know, meekness is, again, something that's learned over time. It's not something you can just wake up with. First, we have to realize we don't have it. Then we have to be shown it. And then, brethren, we have to spend the rest of our lives practicing it every single day. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at Moses' last 40 years of his life. It's a start of his 40 years anyway. Because at the ripe old age of 80, and I say that here because he was 80, God was finally ready to use Moses for his purpose. 80 years old, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock to Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to the Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him out of a fire and flame of the midst of the bush. And so he looked, behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush wasn't consumed. And Moses says, I'm going to turn aside now and see this great sight on why this bush doesn't burn, which I think most of us would be sitting there in amazement, wondering why a bush is on fire and it's not being consumed. Dropping down over here to verse 4, he says, then when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he says, here I am. He says, do not draw near to this place and take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand on is holy ground. Moreover, he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon the Lord. Here we see the calling of Moses, the beginning then of his journey. And he spends the rest of his life developing the character trait of meekness, just like we do, because we all had to start somewhere. So that was the first 40 years of Moses' life. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to look at three reasons on why Moses was called the meekest man. And again, see how we could obtain the meekness. Because remember, it's about our journey. It's about our walk. We're learning from the people that are in this Bible, whether it's Philip or Moses or David or Daniel. Because let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but this book could have easily been written with your name or my name here too. And I wouldn't want everybody to read it all about what I did wrong. Thank God I'm not in here. So we can learn from this. So Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. We're already here in Exodus. Point number one is don't think highly of yourself. If you want to be meek, don't think highly of yourself. This is what Moses did. Exodus 3:11. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? who am I? This is a far cry from the man 40 years ago, 60 years ago, back when he was doing his own thing, back when he was, you know, as an Egyptian, the learned way, back when he was killing somebody because he thought that that was the way he was going to rule. But no, he says, who am I? Look at his attitude change. Sometimes in our walk with God, the only way that we can get meekness is for God sometimes to show us through a trial. Sometimes we have to go through something to figure that out in order for us to not think too highly of ourselves. Sometimes God has to get our attention. Let's go to Job 42. Again, we're learning how to get meekness. How do we get meekness? What made Moses so meek? Job 42. You could read the story of Job. We all know the story behind it. Job lost everything. He was a righteous man. Satan came before God and he said, hey, that guy Job down there, you know, we need to do something about him. And he took away his family, took away his children, his health, his wealth. The only thing he had left was three friends and his wife, who basically told him to curse God and die. So he didn't have a lot of good support system around him there. But Job went through a lot of things. And now he comes to chapter 42. This is at the end. He says, Job answered the Lord, verse 1, and says, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you will answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of your ear, but now my eye sees you, and therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, sometimes our eyes don't see God because they're focused on ourselves. They're not focused on others. When Moses got out of the way and let God lead him, God did great things through Moses, and God was ready to use Moses at that time. How about us? What is it that we're holding on to? What is it that's keeping us from letting God really get involved and lead us forward in our lives? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. How about how we deal with each other? Ephesians chapter 4. Again, remember, we're talking about not thinking highly of yourself. We're trying to learn, how do we get meekness? Ephesians 4, verse 1. Paul speaking here, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, and with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word lowliness means meekness. And when you put it into perspective what Christ did for us, then dealing with others shouldn't be that difficult. Because he puts us here so that we can learn how to become meek. To not think of just ourselves all the time. Because it's not about us. It's not about us. Let's go to Philippians 2, because Christ, he set the perfect example for us. I don't know of a better scripture to turn to. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 3, Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. How are we doing with that? Like Mr. Wendt says in his things all the time, in his message to the ponder, he says, you know, says we can all do better. Let each of you look not out for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, help others. Look out for them. Don't just think about you. Verse 5 says, let this mind, the mind that thinks of others, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So now he's saying, now I want you to start turning now and start comparing your life to Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What a wonderful example that Christ set, who could have done anything he wanted to do when he was here, but instead he did the will of his Father, gave up his life, right? That stallion strength that he could have done anything and could have squashed those Pharisees and Sadducees. And he put that aside so that you and I can have eternal life. What an example. So how did Moses show this quality of weakness? How did Moses show this quality of meekness? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 32. Remember, this title was Moses, Meekness, and Me. So we're learning here about the life of Moses. We're learning here about meekness, and we're learning, hopefully, how this applies to each one of us sitting in this room today. Exodus chapter 32, this is the story about the golden calf. We all know what happened. Moses went up to get the commandments. He came back down. There was a big party going on. There was a golden calf made and just a bunch of crazy stuff happening. And needless to say, God was not happy at all. Exodus 32, verse 30. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord, and perhaps I can make atonement for you for your sin." Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, that these people have committed a great sin and have made themselves a god of gold." You know, he went to God on the people's behalf to stop God from going and just making them a burnt black spot on the face of the earth. A group of people who were murmuring and complaining and griping and groaning and having this big party in front of this God that they made after God took them out of Egypt. He's now going before God and pleading their case. This is where the meekness comes in. Verse 32. "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." I got goosebumps. He was willing to give up his salvation for the people. That's meekness. That is meekness. That's what made Moses so meek. Hopefully we can take that quality about us and look to others and make it not about us, but make it about other people. Point number two on how we can obtain meekness is we need to be obedient. Obedient. Obedience is one of those words that makes most people cringe. Nobody wants to be obedient. That's a bad word in today's society. Dictionary.com says this: it means to carry out or to comply with or follow the commands, restrictions, wishes, or instructions of. You know, in order to be obedient, you have to do the will of somebody else and forego your own thoughts and plans. And therein lies the rub. Because obedience involves altering your behavior. Because we all want to do it our way. A spiritually meek person is not self-willed. They're not continually concerned with their own ways, ideas, or thoughts, and they're willing to put themselves in second place and to submit to achieve what is the best and the good for others. Again, meekness is not a sign of weakness. It's rather a sign of strength of character. It's what Christ, our elder brother, did for each one of us. Moses was mentally ready to let go of what he wanted, which was in turn made it easier for God to do what he needed to do. Let's go to Exodus chapter 6 and let's see this in action. Exodus chapter 6. Because again, in order for God to use us, we have to get out of our own way. We are the problem. We are the problem. Exodus chapter 6, verse 28. "And it came to pass on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'I am the Lord, speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, in all that I say to you.'" Verse 30. "But Moses said to the Lord, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh heed me?" Chapter 7, verse 1. "So the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you as a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, as your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother will tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of the land.'" And then verse 2 says, "And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did." Moses followed every word of God to a T. He obeyed God. That's what made Moses so useful for God, as a pliable piece of pottery in his hands. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Let's see how important obedience is to God, because he does require that from us. Again, it's how we obtain meekness. We have to be obedient. Have to let go of our own way of thinking and doing things. Hebrews 5, verse 6. He said, and he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications and vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son. This is talking about Jesus Christ, who was on the verge of going through one of the greatest and most painful things that you could probably ever go through as a human, and being crucified, asked his father, pleaded with his father, if there's any way that you can make this go away, please make it happen. But not my will, but your will. Okay? So this is the point that we're talking about. He says, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. I'm sorry, I have a hard time understanding that. That Christ learned something? That's remarkable to me. That's exciting to me. Because that to me says that in 500 trillion years from now, what could we possibly learn? That Christ as a human went through this and suffered for us. He went through it, obediently going through it for us, foregoing his own will and purpose. And having been perfected, he became the author and eternal salvation for all who obey him. What a blessing. What an example. Again, if we want to have that quality and that spirit of meekness, we have to be obedient and let go of our own way of doing things. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that's the reality and the fact of it. But what happens when we don't obey? Let's go to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Verse 12. Story about Moses. God told him, speak to the rock. And instead, Moses strikes it twice. Verse 12, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He says, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you will not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Moses spent 40 years of his life giving up his life for these people, for God's people, and in one stroke of a disobedient act, God did not allow him to go into the promised land. Don't let that happen to us. Don't let a moment of disobedience take us away from being a part of God's family. Learn that quality and that spirit of meekness and be obedient so that God can use you, so that you can be a part of his family. My last point on how to obtain meekness is be a servant. Be a servant. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more than Moses, insomuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house, for the house was built by someone else, but he who built it of all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. What made Moses so meek? What made God recognize and call Moses out? He was a servant. Dictionary definition of the word servant means a person who is in service of others, or a person who is employed by another, especially to perform domestic duties. The Hebrew definition means to be a slave, That means you have to give up your own rights. And at baptism, isn't that we told God we would do? That God, we are going to give up who we are, and we're going to be just like you. In order for that to happen, we have to take on the form of being a servant, which is the opposite of being dignified or proud. You can put in your notes James 4:6. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if we want to be friends with God and we want him to be on our side and we want to be on his side, then we need to do it in a meek manner, not in a manner that's going to push us away from God. You know, he served the people who were against him. Speaking about Moses, let's look at this example. This is remarkable. Exodus 18. Exodus 18 and verse 13. When I read this, I was kind of shocked, because I wondered, could I do this? And when you read this, ask yourself, can you do this? Is this something that you would be able to do? Exodus 18 verse 13. And so it was on the next day. This is talking about here the time of Israel leaving Egypt. This is in the, I think, the sixth or seventh Sabbath after they left Egypt. So they're almost 2 months out of Egypt, headed towards Mount Sinai. He says that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. From morning until evening, verse 16. He says, and when they have a difficulty, they come to me. Because his father-in-law says, why are you doing this? Why are you sitting there all the time? He says, because when they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. He sat there every single day listening to the people. What a servant. I look at that and I think, these people were grumbling. They were ready to choke Moses out when he was at the Red Sea. They wanted to hang him. They wanted to stone him. But yet he sat here every day in front of the people to help teach them and guide them along the way so that they can understand how to live God's way of life. What a service. What a service. Sorry, I'm kind of running out of time. I've got a lot to do here, so I want to make sure I get on time. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Because there was somebody else who set us that example in the Bible. Mark chapter 10. Talking about service. I need to go here because this is important. I know we're talking about the life of Moses. Talking about meekness. We're talking about us. And if we're talking about us, we also have to talk about our elder brother, Jesus Christ, because that's who we're supposed to follow. Mark 10:42. James and John wanted to know if they could sit at the right hand of Christ. You know, they wanted to be in charge. They wanted to have power just like Christ did. But notice his response. Verse 42, Jesus called to them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. And yet it shall not be so among you, that whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. But notice verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give a life as ransom for many. Christ set us that perfect example of being a humble servant, because in order for us to be meek, we have to learn how to serve. And there's many ways that we can serve. God gives us a congregation right here for us to teach us how to do that. And I'm not talking about cleaning a hall, or I'm not talking about picking up songbooks. It could be things like maybe signing the cards, or fellowshipping, or visiting one another, or praying for one another, or fasting for one another. We can do sound, open the door. We can stock the bookshelves. We can put the paper towel in the bathroom, or the toilet paper. And there's a number of things that we can do, but it's teaching us that service. It's teaching us the meekness. It's teaching us how to be just like Christ. And again, if you go back to the story of Moses and what made Moses so meek, it was that he was that servant. As I close here, Matthew chapter 5 says that the meek will inherit the earth. Have we ever stopped to think about what that really means? Unfortunately, I get a headache when I start to think about those things because my mind is small. But we're going to own everything. I mean, we hold on to this world, the physical things in this world now, like it's the most important thing ever. Why? I think in Peter it says that all these things are going to pass away. So what manner of person ought you to be? Now, why do we hold on to this? God says, you already have the keys to the kingdom. You're already going to be a bride of my son, Jesus Christ. You're going to have everything. And in fact, in Revelation 21, it talks about the first heaven and the first earth passing away. So what remains left is going to be eternity. And that's what God says you're going to have. We're going to have a gift of being on his side and by his side 24/7 every day. That's what I have to look forward to. That's what you have to look forward to. So when we talk about being meek, there's a prize. There's a gift that is at the end of that for us. It's a goal that we should be striving for. So let's remember the meekness of Moses and the life that he lived. You know, God called him to fulfill his purpose. But Moses, like us, we need to also have that meekness. We also have to be moldable and shapeable and allow God to use us so that he can work through us. And we could do this by not thinking highly of ourselves. We could do this by being obedient. We could also do this by being a servant. And if we do these things, not only will we inherit the earth, but we'll also build a valuable part of our character called meekness. Happy Sabbath.